Fanatics, this is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week we'll have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can visit us at the website at diaryofdoom.com, follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/diaryofdoom, and follow along with the podcast over at diaryofdoom.podbean.com, and you can subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have any questions or any such nonsense you want to throw my way, you can fire off an email to diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And in this episode of, or rather in this chapter of the Diary of Doom, we are reaching out to Northern friends, just north of us, though, in Massachusetts. I've got Sean Augustinowitz on with us, and we are just knee-deep in dealing with coronavirus.
We are.
It's just seemingly all that we can talk about, but that will, I mean, I'm assuming we'll, like, probably talk about it at some point. We may as well just get it out of the way now, so... But Sean and I have kind of just gotten to know each other a little bit online, you know, mutual musical interests and, you know, dealing with trolls and whatnot. So, but yeah, I just hit up Sean and asked if he wanted to be on the podcast because I, you know, kind of want to bring it back a little bit to sort of the fan aspect of the podcast. That's why it was created. So thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I don't really know what you're doing right now.
I know. What are any of us doing, actually? No, thank you for having me, too, for sure.
So, like, how has coronavirus affected your life?
Well, I mean, I guess day to day, like, I'm a public school teacher, so I'm not going to work. I'm trying to work from home. I'm also a dad to two kids. So, you know, we got like the family around trying to like navigate working from home, I guess, as kind of like a positive, you know, byproduct from the whole deal. It's given me some time to like kind of indulge in some things that I've been not able to in a long time, like such as music. So, you know, it's been a drag to watch the country at large kind of go through this and everybody's cooped up and things like that, which is the least of anyone's worries or whatever. But, I guess that's kind of it, man, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of like how everyone else is, you know, dealing with it. And, well, not how everyone is. I mean, obviously there's range of it. I mean, I had a friend who got out of the ICU who was dealing with this thing, and it's just like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like 3 weeks of just the weirdest, strangest whirlwind of emotions. And sure, how much it has affected everybody. But in particular, the music industry has been greatly affected. But yeah, you made a good point. There are I've definitely been listening to more music than I normally would, just because of, like, you know, I'm at work. I can't listen to it all the time. I have to like talk with my coworkers and, you know, yeah, X, Y, Z.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can kind of like take a moment to like sit down, you know, and like really kind of dig deeper into something that you would have had to like only take like a surfacey look at prior, you know? So like I said, positive byproduct, but, you know, pretty cool. So.
Yeah. And obviously there's a lot of bands and whatnot kind of doing what they can and making the best of a bad situation and doing like live streams and,
yeah,
all those kinds of performances, and it's been pretty cool. So, but in the time now that you're, you know, listening to music and whatnot, you know, where did that kind of start off, you know, going back to your earliest experiences with you know, developing a fondness for music? Because I know that you like other types of music that are beyond, like, you know, doom metal and stoner metal and shit like that.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, wow. So, I mean, I guess like my most earliest consciousness of like really being into music was, you know, as far back as being a little kid. Like, you know, my mom would have like MTV on and there'd be like Michael Jackson, you know, having his last few days in the 90s and stuff. And I don't know, some like older bands that they listened to, my parents and stuff. And but like where I really kind of like jumped off with was like in high school, being in like hardcore bands, like punk hardcore bands. And that kind of went through from like the earlier 2000s when the, like the Boston scene was kind of like, you know, having some resurgence, I guess you could call it, or there was like some really good bands coming out of like Boston. Western Mass was kind of feeling, you know, the residuals of that, which was really great. So, you know, us little dudes in high school, we could make a band and it was awesome. It was really, really fun times. Kind of from there, it was, you know, I was doing the hardcore thing for like a number of years. I got a little bit burnt out with that, kind of bored, started getting into like the Dead and some of that stuff in my like earlier 20s. And then I think I caught like a Dinosaur Jr. show or something with Ohm. And then that whole thing like just spun off into another direction. So, you know, as I guess the years kind of got away from me at that point. But now here I am 33 and I'm, you know, that's pretty much my whole life other than my family and work is music, you know.
That seems like to me like sort of a natural. Well, actually, the jump from the. From hardcore to the Dead is kind of a big leap. Like that's such a difference, you know, coming from somebody who I like my mom was a New York punk and she like hated cool. The Grateful Dead, and she always talks about
yes, how much she yes dude the like Dead. Yeah, like my later days, like as I was kind of making the transition, almost you could call it, like I would show up to like gigs with my band and we'd be playing like these like really just kind of almost just blatant ripoffs of like, you know, the older school hardcore and punk bands and stuff. And I'm sitting there with like, you know, like a tie-dye shirt on and everyone's looking at me like, dude, you're going through like a life crisis here, man. You know, it was a massive jump. But I think what it was like the hardcore thing for me, like, you know, I dived really hard into it. It was a fun thing to follow, but then it just gets to a point where you're just like, all right, well, like, but what else is there really? And so like, I looked for something else that had like a really deep history, something that like had a lot of content that I could dive into, and like, you know, the imagery and like the scene and like the culture that's behind the band was just so, it was so enthusiastic to me that like, I was like, all right, well, I guess that's going to be my next, you know, progression, I guess. Yeah, drastically different.
Yeah, it's just so like high. It's like high energy to just like low energy.
yeah, like, in some ways, and in other ways, you know, like you can almost look at it like it's the same thing, really. You know what I mean? In terms of the energy, like if you were to go to a show or something like that, you know. So it's very interesting, though. Like, so
I think there's something to be said that you can, like, you know, go to two completely different shows and walk away feeling exactly the same way, whether that being like, you know, you ran around in a mosh pit and, you know, got punched in the face and it was awesome, or you just like, I don't know, smoked a joint and watched like a really like chill show and I don't know, like you tapped into some, you know, deeper plane or whatever, but you could like walk away. It's like, I don't know, it's the same adrenaline in some capacity. Yeah.
100%, man. 100%, totally. You know, it's what you allow yourself to take from it, you know? So
yeah.
You can totally hate the Dead and that's cool. But like whatever you're into, if it makes you tick like that, then that's it, you know?
Now, I don't hate the Grateful Dead. I am just like, I'm not a Deadhead because I feel like they're one of those bands that I feel like they're one of those bands that you can't really just be like, yeah, I'm okay on them. It's kind of like you like them, or you don't like them, or you just don't have an opinion on them.
Yeah, right.
Kind of the opinion that I have no opinion on the Dead.
No. You know? When I say the you, it's like the general kind of, you know, the royal you, I said, exactly. Essentially. But, you know.
Like, I have a stronger opinion on Fish than I do on the Great Pleasure. Oh,
God. No, it's true. Yeah, actually, that's so funny because I think I only really allowed myself to get into like the Dead and then kind of like transition into some like classic rock that I had not really explored yet. But Fish was like, I would go to like, I've been to like a couple shows, but I'm like, oh God, yeah, this is not my thing, man. I don't know, you know?
It's funny. I like a couple of Phish albums, but like listening to them live, I just was like, this is like, this doesn't sound good.
Yeah. It must be all that nitrous. I don't know.
Yeah. It can't possibly just be the drugs.
Yeah.
Which is funny given the fact that like I listen to a band, it's just like smoke copious amounts of weed and like listen to like Reverb for an hour, but something right. about that works a lot better for me than Phish. I don't know what it is. Well, I don't know if I'm the dumb one, but
no, like I said, man, it's whatever makes you tick, just go for it, you know. But
I guess here's a question, like if you were to go through like your different, you know, musical sort of periods, like where did you have highlight albums from like kind of each era for you that just like paved the way? And I'm assuming like it would be like, yeah, you know, like yeah. Dead Live 66 Volume 3.
Oh god. I mean, it doesn't have to be that, like so yes, definitely, that's a super awesome question. So like, you know, I was definitely like a 90s kid. I was born in 87, so some of the, you know, those formative years, I suppose they call them, listening to music, like my favorite band in the whole world still to this day is the Smashing Pumpkins, you know. So to me, like the greatest album ever written was Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, you know. So that was like kind of like my childhood. And then like I said, like around high school, like I was getting into the hardcore thing. There was a local band called Cut the Shit that was really, really important to me. And then obviously like how I referenced like the Boston scene, like American Nightmare was really important. You know, there was a lot. And then, like I said, the Dead was really important. And then once I kind of transitioned out of those bands and like those times, I started listening to like pretty much whatever made me tick, like I've been kind of saying. And so like there entered like Sleep and some of these bands that like, you know, like I've met like you through and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, obviously Dope Smoker being like a super, super important record. You know, Earth, different bands like that.
Were you like a Cave-In fan by any chance?
Cave-In? No, not like a fan. I've heard some of those tunes, but nothing that really kind of latched on to me though.
Yeah, I was just curious because they're like a big Boston, or a maybe not Boston, but like a big Mass band. Like,
right.
I think kind of like, well, since I like started checking out like Converge a bit more, like, you know, and realizing yeah. all the lineage there and whatnot. I was just curious. They're like a bigger Mass band that I found out, you know, about more recently.
Ooh. Yeah, totally. Yep.
Do you think there's like a kind of a, I've talked about this before, but do you think that there's like there's an attraction to bands like, you know, Sleep and Ohm and Earth, which, and it would make sense too, about Earth for a particular reason, but like, do you think there's an attraction or like to go to those kinds of bands if you're like someone who was really into the Dead for a while? Like, is there like an association? Because I know some people have said like the array of speakers and how they use amps and that kind of stuff is kind of similar to how bands of that, of the kind of sort of the Doom umbrella kind of like operate. It's like that very like, you know, that heavy wall of noise sound, not like the Phil Spector like wall of noise.
For sure. Like I to kind of clarify, I guess what you're saying is like that sort of like sonic thing that they created,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I don't know, I guess like no matter what you had listened to early on, whatever brought you to it is going to make you sort of revisit those old things and say like, well, like, how did I get here with this? You know? And there's going to be some sort of like tie that you can bring into it. Definitely for me, like I would say like, it's almost like a total, like all encompassing thing, like having listened to those heavy, heavy bands that I perceived as being heavy as a kid, you know, those hardcore bands that just hit really hard, man. And like the shows were physically intense and stuff. And then there was like getting into like the Dead, which was like, you stand there and you know, during like the quiet moments, you stand there and take it in, and you're just like totally dumbfounded by this thing. And then there's other moments where you're like dancing and you're like, holy hell, man, like this is really heavy in a way, you know? And then like you get into a band like Sleep or Earth or Ohm or, you know, any of these bands. And it like you had said earlier, like it kind of hits you in the same way, even sonically, like so drastically different. But yeah, like it still gets you like in the same way somehow, you know? But yeah, I would definitely say like the Dead and like those heavier bands conjoined together kind of like, I guess, set me on a path for discovering some of these other bands and the reasons why I like them.
We're going to get into that later for sure. And I think that actually makes a lot of sense with the band that we'll kind of discuss later on in a little bit. Are there any specific Doom records that you really love? They don't have to be explicitly Doom is like, as long as they like kind of fall into the category, or was there like a particular band that, you know, really made you want to check out more of the genre?
Absolutely. So like, I guess it happened very, very strangely for me, I think, as far as like the Doom thing goes, like around the same time that I was kind of like getting into the Dead, which is like probably about 2010 or so, like 23 years old. Like maybe a year or so prior, I had been getting like another transition out of hardcore, and having been, you know, I live in Western Mass. So Dinosaur Jr. is a huge, huge band here, for a lot of the, you know, like my friends and myself and the people that had like kind of been listening to that music growing up. So after hardcore, I kind of like was listening to a lot of Dinosaur Jr. And at the same time, Lou Barlow had rejoined the band. And so like they were having like this resurgence of like shows and like a lot of like hype around the band again and stuff. So it was kind of just really great timing that I got into the band, and I was able to go and to see these shows and stuff. And so what happened was, I went to go see Dinosaur Jr. at Toad's Place in New Haven. And there was an opening band that I had never heard of and didn't think anything about really. I was like, you know, if we make it there in time, great to see them, you know, awesome. But otherwise, whatever. Made it there totally in time. And so this band comes out, it's just two people. And this dude sits down at the drum set, and this really, I don't know, like sort of intense in his own way dude with long sort of dark black hair comes out and picks up the bass. And all of a sudden, the most loud, most intense thing happened. And I listened to this band all the way through and was like, holy shit, you know, never mind Dinosaur, dude. Like, that was incredible. Come to find out, it was Ohm. And like, I was really into it for a little while, kind of like forgot about it. And then like years later, I revisited it. Just, I don't even know how, but I, you know, just kind of, I guess, looking them up and stuff. And I listened to it again. I was like, wow, like that is so incredible. And then that is kind of almost exactly when and how the whole Doom thing happened for me. So long story short, that would have meant that like back in at that point, that would have been like Conference of the Birds, and those Ohm records that had been out at that point, like 2007, I guess, 2006. So yeah, that was like really where it started for me. And then from there, obviously, like the expected course would have been like Dope Smoker and Holy Mountain, you know, Volume One, etc.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting about Ohm, and I think it's weird how much, you know, the Ohm and the related bands, like how much mileage they get in terms of like conversation, at least for me. But they, in that period of time, that was probably like when they were really starting to get a following. And I imagine it was, or more of a more wider audience. And I imagine that like that, you know, them playing with like Dinosaur Jr. is pretty cool, because you're probably showing that, you know, Al and Chris, well, I guess like Emil was in the band at that point, right?
It was Chris.
It was Chris. Okay.
Yeah, so like, yeah, you know, in those earlier days, it was still Chris. Yeah.
Like, you're still seeing like Al and Chris like do their thing, and you're like, okay, this is not punk rock. This is not heavy metal. This isn't hard to, like, what the fuck is this? But you're like, this is pretty fucking sick. You know, they there's a reason why, like, I went to go see them and they played at like a fucking art gallery in Brooklyn, New York. You know, they're they're like, you know, they can play in those kinds of interesting, strange venues and
100%
play like they're, I think they, well, it's probably not happening now, but like they were, I think they were playing the Primavera Sound Festival, the one in Spain, which always has an amazing lineup. And it's cool to see them in a spot like that. And then they were going to play Hellfest, and then that got canceled too, obviously due to coronavirus. But I'm like, you know, it's like three very wildly different things, and it that bring people together. I love that about, you know, that band.
Yeah, 100%, man. And like, you know, I don't know. It's interesting when you look at it. Like, for instance, like, you know, to, you know, that specific show. You know, Jay Maskus, the guitar player from Dinosaur Jr., is I guess a Gnome fan. Obviously, I would imagine he's friends with Al or something. But obviously, besides the fact that those two guys are probably, they find a bond just as people, like they see something in each other's art that's just like, you know, Jay must see what I saw that night, dude. And like, you know, I was blown away. I'd never heard anything like that in my life. You know, like my idea of metal was like, you know, or, well, not that they're metal, but like, you know, like those heavier bands that weren't hardcore to me. Like, I didn't really know what to call them, I guess. I had not really seen anything like that before. So I was completely blown away. Like, it wasn't as much music to me as it was complete, just like art. I was like, holy shit.
Like, yeah, it's wild. It's, I think that's what people didn't realize about heavy metal for a long time, was that there was like this weird kind of, you know, more artistic angle to it. It's just not what made money.
Right. Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
What made money was like butt rock and hair metal and shit like that. Like punk rock if it got popular, and now, and you know, thrash Metallica and shit like that. And I'm glossing over a lot of stuff and a lot of people who make a lot of money, but you know, all this, you know, all the quote unquote experimental stuff, it's like you have to be like a sun to get like a packed audience, but you're still not playing like giant stadium. You're playing like a large venue in a Vegas casino. I'm only saying that because I saw them in a large venue in Vegas.
And you know, and the people that are drawn there, like they'll come out of the woodwork from any corner of, I would assume, the country and maybe even the world, because they're an eclectic band like that. You know, so they are able to play those like bigger places and stuff like that because the fans will come travel for them. But at the same time, they still elude that larger popularity or audience, I guess, that general audience, which I guess remains them, you know, underground, which is cool, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure most people wouldn't, I'm sure they don't want like that kind of a, you know, appreciation anyway, you know, they're.
No. Yeah. Like it has to remain sacred, you know?
Yeah. And you know, that's like the same as Sleep getting offered to play Coachella, and they were like, no.
Like, wait, you don't know us, do you?
It wasn't even that. They were like, wait, we can't tour after we're done playing Coachella. They're like, fuck that.
Yeah, yeah, no. Like,
we'll just go to Europe instead.
Yeah, I'm glad that did not happen.
Yeah, me too. Are there any specific records? I think I kind of had asked that before, but do you... are there any like ones that you hold close to your heart?
As far as like the doom thing goes?
Yeah.
I get really, really excited about the stuff that like I hear. Like if it hits me in a certain way, like it's going to be close to my heart no matter what. Like for instance, like the other day, Bong Tower put out their record and I was completely awestruck by it. It was like, holy hell.
A wildly good record. I, you know, like just kind of looking at what that record was, I was like, all right, the name of the band is Bong Tower and it's Oscillator and there's an astronaut on the cover. I'm like, you know, this is, you know, it's very close to home, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, it's the Russian Sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you put it on, and I was like, wow, this is really fucking good.
Yeah. Like, and I think, like, you know, like, they, all the integration that they did with, like, the spoken word parts with, you know, like, August West was on the group talking about, like, how the synthesizers are, like, you know, kind of creating, like, this vibe, and then all of a sudden it just, like, explodes into the band, and it's like, oh my god, like, all this thought and production that went into that record was just, like, it's so appreciated. Like, I like, yeah, I want to, like, touch those dudes and just be like, yo, like, shake them and be like, that record's so good, thank you.
I know, and yeah. I was super surprised. It's a very cool record. If you haven't checked it out, and if you are looking for, like, a good stoner doom band to go check out the new Bong Tower album. It's called Oscillator. Yes. And it's funny because, like, the spoken word stuff, and it's like, you know, they're Russian, so it's just like one of the dudes, like, you know, reading some, I don't even really know, yeah, what it was, some, like, strange, you know, conspiracy involving, like,
yeah,
the Earth and NASA and space, the moon, whatever. And yeah, it's kind of cool because it almost feels like, it almost feels like you found something you weren't supposed to find. You know,
right? What I mean? Exactly. Like, it's kind of exciting to listen to it, and, like, it was really funny. I put it on for my girlfriend earlier, and she was like, in the intro part, there's, like, the synthesizer kind of going on. I'd assume it's a synthesizer. This is my ignorance to the tools that they probably use to create it, but it's making its you know, presence. And she's like, oh, it sounds like almost like Stranger Things. And I was like, oh my god, it does. Like, it's like that weird, like, nervous feeling that they make happen with that one instrument. And then, like, the way he talks and stuff, it's like I'm watching, like, I don't know if you ever watched Chernobyl on HBO, like, super dark and, like, kind of sketchy and, like, oh my god, like, you know. And it's, I don't know, it's so cool. And then, like, you hear the music and you're like, you're so blown away by the beginning of it that you're like, oh my god. And then this music kicks in and it's so cool. I don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, I appreciated sort of the more, like, I don't know if the, I don't really know if it's a death metal growl, but it, I prefer, I was happy to hear, like, harsh vocals that,
yeah,
you know, you could have heard in a completely different genre of metal. I thought that was kind of welcome. And yeah. Yeah, somehow pulled off a Bowie cover too, which was pretty wild. Oh my god!
Yeah, like, as if the record wasn't good enough, it gets to the end and they do a doom version of Bowie. I'm just like, okay, well, you guys just secured the 2020 record for this genre.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that is, like, super impressed. Really great record. Yeah. I really dug the shit out of it.
Totally. But yeah, to go back to your question though, like, you know, I guess, so yeah, day to day, things like that'll happen where a band will just pop up and be like, hey, we're dropping a record in, you know, 2 hours, whatever. And then it blows you away. That can happen. But I guess the one record, that really, like, hit me super, super hard for a lot of different reasons. And I think it came into my life at a point where, like, I really needed to, like, have something like it. Was the Bees Made Honey and the Lion Skull from Earth.
It's super good.
Yeah. Which, you know, and you're talking about doom and, you know, these bands and, like, you know, the essence of, like, sonic heaviness. That record, you know, subjectively for some people would be not heavy really at all, or almost, like, cumbersome and boring, you know? But to me, it's like, oh my god, like, it's actually very heavy.
Yeah, I love Earth. That was, well, the joke, the thing I was going to say before, sort of the joke, is that, like, I know that Dylan Carlson is, like, a pretty big deadhead. serves my memory correct. He is, like,
you're, like, not surprised that I said this.
Yeah, so I get it. I think, yeah, and but he's one of those dudes that, like, can, he has, like, the right approach to it. Like, I like, yes, he heard something, he might have heard something in the dead, and it was just like, ah, that, I need that.
Yeah, I think it was I believe it was, like, the first episode for this show. I think I'm remembering it right. I believe August had said that, like, his favorite song was Dark Star. Some of those jams in that song were just, like, so spaced out and, like, just weird. and like, you know, but beautiful and like somewhat in the same way. Like that's actually my favorite Dead song as well. And it's always different. It's always pretty damn good, if not totally mind blowing. And like, I see a lot of that like in Earth, you know?
Yeah. And early Earth is a bit different than later Earth. And,
When I saw
Earth last year, I don't think they played a lot of their early material. There's also like only three people in the band now. The band's gone through, you know, phases of like very big, and much smaller. And now they're just, they're a three piece. I wish I had gotten to see them when they had like the violin and everything. Cause I really like that shit. But I saw them on their last tour. I saw him once opening for Sleep. He just did a solo set, which is interesting. It was very odd to see one guy with one guitar just playing like this very odd music.
I saw like a couple of videos actually just recently, maybe even yesterday or the day before. I think I watched almost a full performance of him doing it solo, and it is really pretty different to see him get up there with his like weird looking Stratocaster, and you know, he just goes right into like these like drone like weird arrangements and stuff like that, and like it pans to the crowd, and they're like, there's like some people that you can tell are like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then there's some people that are like, what in the hell is going on here? Like, you know,
it was very funny. Like I remember I was there with my girlfriend and like the set ended, and she was like, I actually loved that. And I was like, I liked it too, but it's much different when he's working with a full band. Roundabout way of saying that. So,
yeah, no, it is definitely. Yeah.
So we haven't done it on the show for a while, which was to talk about a band and find. And so I asked you what you were interested in. My iPad keeps going off. There's so much live streaming happening. It's just like,
yeah,
I'm live streaming.
Everyone's live streaming. If anybody can, dude, Toke is doing the live stream on Friday. Pretty soon.
Oh yeah, I'm Toke. Going to be there.
Oh, I see what you did there.
it was not hard to miss. I'm going to check that out on Friday. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
This episode, obviously, this is going to be much later. So, hey, Toke, we will and have now watched your live stream on the internet.
And preemptively assumed it was awesome.
Yes. So
congrats.
but we like to talk about bands with bands, and so normally I would consult from an encyclopedia, but I didn't feel like doing that, so I asked you to pick out the band, and you had suggested the band Grotto, which I was very, very vaguely familiar with. I just know they're a band like that had been shared on Facebook somewhere before. So I didn't know anything about them really going into them. So as I've been doing lately, because there really is no background music of consequence, I've just been playing like a lot of doom metal and like other completely unfitting albums like Body Count while playing Animal Crossing.
That's actually an awesome visual.
That's great. I get baked. I put on Animal Crossing. Yeah. I put on a record, and it's awesome, or a podcast. So yeah, I was doing just that, and I'm playing it. I'm like, holy fuck, this band is really good. Like,
yeah,
really, really good. And I've been listening to a lot of, obviously, a lot of doom bands, and you know a lot of them for the most part they have their style. I know what it is. And then, you get to hear something like, Grotto. And I was like, oh man, this feels like fucking icy cold water. Just like cleaning me, like just getting rid of everything. And I'm like, ah, this feels really nice.
Yeah.
I really like the way this sound.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I don't know if you're a sushi eater, and this is really, really a strange.
I am a sushi eater.
Segue.
I've probably eaten a lot of like not the best sushi, but
well, yeah, totally, me too. But so if I'm not mistaken, and I don't do this myself, but I believe you're supposed to like eat a piece of ginger in between pieces of like sashimi or something like that. And I don't know, yeah, maybe one of your listeners will tell me I'm completely wrong.
No, you're correct. A lot of I mean, for a long time, and I used to do this, but like what people thought you would do is put the ginger on the sushi, but it's on like top. No.
Right. Yeah.
Ginger is just there to like to cleanse your palate, basically.
Exactly. So, and it was funny because when you were saying that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally was thinking that the other day about some of these bands, like for instance, Grotto, where you know, you might have been listening to a bunch of one thing, and then you listen to this, and it's almost like the ginger on your auditory palate, I guess you might say, and you're like, it kind of wakes it back up, and you're like, oh man, wow, whoa, something else.
So. Yeah, because I can only listen to like so much of one thing for a while. Like even I've been going back and listening to more like death metal from like the 80s and the 90s. And and like, you know, there's a lot of really great stuff. But what, you know, what I found is I'm like, I can't listen to like 5 Autopsy albums in a row.
I'm gonna have a manic depression or something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I'm not like gonna be like, all right, Wednesday I'm gonna listen to nothing but you know Sun Records, which I would just like, oh, this is a drag.
yeah it starts to be too heavy on your soul or something, you know.
Yeah, so when I put on a band like Grotto, and they're an instrumental, according to the Obelisk or somewhere else I read that they're like an instrumental stoner rock band, but they don't sound like Sleep or Yob to me. They probably have more in common with the band like Elder. I don't know what the effect is called for guitar, but like Elder, I call them like, in my head, I call them like the swirly bands, because they do an effect with their guitar that to me, it makes it feel like I'm like swirling around in like a vortex. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's something that's like incredibly rudimentary with like guitar playing, because I don't know anything about like how a guitar works.
Yeah, I mean, I have limited knowledge. I also would probably subscribe to the swirly effect that you describe. Yeah, it's something that, like, I guess is hard to articulate if you're not sitting there and looking at what they're doing while they're doing it. But yeah, something very similar to Elder. The way that I got into them actually was because Brian, help me with his last name. It begins with a K. He's in the group. One of the admin. He was really into Space Slug. For like a bit, kind of turned me onto that. And so I was starting to listen to like some of the Stickman record bands. And so I was listening to like Weed Pecker, and that was incredible. And then, you know, of course you got to like kind of like keep diving and keep going or whatever, and listening to like the other bits of the catalog. And so there was Grotto, you know, what I would kind of almost surmise is like, you know, the label has like some of these like heavy hitters, and Grotto was maybe one of the, you know, not one of the varsity bands, you know, but one of the unsung heroes, because these records are incredible.
Yeah. So I started with the one that came out last year, which I'm actually like really sad that I missed last year. I probably would have definitely included it. I probably would have definitely. What a sentence that is.
For sure. Maybe.
Yeah. I would have included this in my best of. Because I thought it was a fantastic record. And might I add that it's not that long, because it's 3 songs, but they weren't like, okay, 3 songs, we have to make it like, you know, 4 hours long, obviously. Right. No, yeah. it's only like 35 minutes or so, which is...
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. It's 33 minutes and 28 seconds long with 3 songs. And then, you know, like the one that came out after that was the same length, really. 34 minutes with 2 songs.
I think their first album was probably a little bit longer. It had more songs in it.
Yeah. Yep. I guess that kind of speaks to that. Like, they do a lot in that in that 30 some odd minutes that you're listening, it seems like you're there for much longer. And there's like a lot happening, and your brain is constantly processing what is going on in the song, you know, a lot like Elder, you know, for instance, or Weedpecker.
Yeah, there's another band from my neck of the woods called Clouds Taste Satanic. You would probably like them if you if you like this. And they're not I don't want to say that they're like they don't have this like I don't want to say polished, because that sounds like makes it sound like they're not good at what they do.
Like production value wise.
Yeah, like their music is also instrumental, but there is, like, I'm articulating this poorly, but with Grotto, like the way that they approach their sound is it's very much like if there's a lot of layers to it. There's definitely more than one like guitar layer in there. Like they have to like just have something like on repeat, and then the bass is always driving, but you can like hear the drums and everything just like really coalesces to make this really cool sound, and has like a really cool more melody to it than like a Steve Vai, where it's just like, you know, just like barrage of notes that I guess you could criticize bands like this as being like masturbatory, but it doesn't feel as like pretentious as like a, you know, like a Steve Vai or a, like even I was like a huge Dream Theater fan for years, but like, you know, a John Petrucci, where it's just like, oh my God, like how are you even doing that with your hand?
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. I think that, you know, like what they're doing in those records is like, you know, it's not putting on a show like, look what I can do. It's more of like, you know, we're trying to express like this feeling to you guys, like in the same way that a really sort of subjectively stripped down sound like Sleep, you know, in moments, obviously when Pike isn't like going off. Again, subjectively, like there's not a lot happening necessarily, but there is a ton happening though at the same time. You know, like they kind of do that same thing in almost like a different genre, where you'd expect more showboating or something like that. And it's not going on, but they're doing a lot, you know?
Yeah. And I don't remember if I was going off on another point there, comparing them to another band, but whatever, it's done now.
I'm sorry. I probably derailed you too.
No, it's okay. I just was like, not paying attention. I definitely felt like they got tighter by the third album compared to the first record. It was almost felt like they were a little bit shy on the first record. And I just felt like they just got more streamlined. I don't know what it is, but they just did a really good job of putting that last record out. The one that came out last year. What is it? The
Lantern of Guys or something.
Yeah, something strange and weird. I don't know.
That's always a title that you can't pronounce the last word on, you know?
So I think it makes sense that they would be on the Elder label. They definitely have some vibe. I prog rock keeps coming up in, like...
Oh, for sure.
...in here, and I definitely think you can hear, like, the structures of progressive rock, but I feel like what happened with, like, prog metal bands is that it got a little too muddled with all like technical skill, you know, and this just feels like nice, and it feels like kind of comforting, and you know, you can kind of just like kick back and let it like wash over you.
And I could see that, but
they're another band that I could see playing for like a variety of other bands or other types of music even. I remember what I was gonna say. Like there's another band that put a record out last year that was kind of similar to this, but it was a little darker and a little heavier, called Glacier, and they put out an amazing record. I believe that they're mostly instrumental too. Let me just back check that.
Okay. Glacier. That's not one of the bands that like Outer Battery had been supporting, was it? Am I thinking of the wrong thing? Probably not.
Maybe. I don't know. They're from Boston, actually.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'm not too far off of that. I don't know.
I think they did a show with like Worshipper. They were doing or something like that. I don't know. I had a friend who went to go see them, and she said they were just like super good. I thought they were a bigger band for some reason, but I guess they're not. But yeah, if you like Grotto, you'll probably like Glacier.
Wow, what a cool name too, Glacier. Like so,
I know,
like slow moving, but like you know, intense.
Yeah,
I know. You know what the band I was thinking of? That I was thinking of Arctic, I think, from that Outer Battery had put out a record for them, or like you know helped distribute a record for them or something. I think.
Not familiar with them.
Yeah, they're like I believe they're kind of along those lines, I suppose. But all right, dude, Glacier, definitely gonna check it out. Yeah,
they're really good. I was really shocked. Like I was just like, oh, this band must be like pretty big. Like, and I was very surprised to come to find out that they were like not a bigger band.
Yeah, dude. Listen, like going back to that band, Bong Tower, I felt the same way because like I had asked one of the guys, like, are you guys gonna put out a? You know, I looked at like their Bandcamp and it was like a CD and like a shirt or two. I was like, oh. There's not really like a lot here. Like they don't have like a huge presence online. And then I had asked him, I was like, are you guys going to put out like a vinyl or something? And he was like, yeah, well, we're like in the process of talking to somebody. And I was like thinking to myself, how did you put out this record with like the production value that it has and like, you know, the integrity that it has. And like, you guys actually don't have backing really yet. Like that's actually super incredible and impressive. You know, some of these bands are doing that stuff.
I know. It just snuck up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely would like to see Grotto. They're from Belgium, so obviously they're not coming around these parts anytime soon. But hopefully they make their way back stateside if they've ever been stateside.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be awesome. I would definitely go check them out. I could see them. I think it'd be too redundant for them to play with a band like Elder potentially, but no, they definitely hold their own though, you know, for being on that catalog and stuff.
Yeah, I could see them opening up for like, they could probably open up for a ton of bands. It wouldn't be, like you said.
Yeah.
I could open up for a band like Torch, or they could open up for a band, you know, like more in line, like in their lines. Like I could see them opening up, like getting slapped on like a bill with like, I don't know, Fu Manchu or something like that even.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Good records, man. I don't know. They do a lot with like what they're doing, you know, like it was interesting. You had mentioned like in our earlier parts of the conversation, we were talking about like the Dead and like even Fish had come up for a second. And I remember years ago, I listened to an interview with Trey Anastasio. Forgive me, everyone that's listening. I'm mentioning Trey. I'm sorry. Trey Anastasio was talking about the validity or whatever I'm paraphrasing, like the importance of doing nothing with the space during a song. You know, sometimes you want to like hit it so hard, and sometimes like knowing to back off and do nothing for one moment sends or creates this like, you know, really, really important part of the song. And I feel like, you know, like when you listen to Grotto, for instance, like some of the parts in the songs, like as it's progressing through, there's parts where they're really letting off and they're, you could, you know, a really skilled musician might be like, oh, but right there you could have, and oh, but they didn't use that moment to, you know, and like they really intelligibly didn't do as much as they could have, but I think it was very strategic and it really, you know, it's just really cool.
I would agree to that. It's kind of like, you know what? It was I think it was the guy from Talk Talk. He like passed away last year, and somebody was talking about like in an interview. They were talking about like the use of space in a note, and he's just like, yeah, you could have one note, and it might be one note for that passage, but that might be the perfect note for that time, and you have to know how to like work around it, and that's like knowing and understanding like how to navigate music. I was like, huh, never really thought of it that way. I probably like butchered the quote, but like, anyway, just look up the guy from Talk Talk if you need reference. He said something smarter that I would never say, because I'm not as smart as he is. But yeah, or like even like Matt Pike said it in there, he's like, you know, like sleep is very much like an experimentation in like noise and like knowing and sound and space and knowing like how to like sort of control where that goes. So yeah, it all makes sense.
That would have been a better reference to use, definitely, man. Like, you know, he's talked about like how like the syncopation with the drums and like, you know, it's all dependent on like the hits and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like another band where like they're not doing the same thing by any means, but everything is pretty well intentioned, you know, like when you're listening to it, it sounds intelligent, you know, like these are three dudes that, I don't know, they got together, man, and like they made this thing happen, and it's not going to rattle the world musically, but like it also is actually pretty important, you know, if you have exposure to it, you should listen to it. It's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Another band that, and this is kind of my last point, like another band they kind of remind me of is Cult of Luna, which is like this massive, like immersive, you know, big, like very much a spectacle of a band. Like when you go see them, there's like fucking six or seven people on that stage. There's like two drummers. They've got like the lights going fucking crazy with like smoke and everything. And, you know, there's like three guitars and people are soloing at the same time. It's crazy. And I'm like, these are three dudes from Belgium who managed to make a record that sounded as complex as like that band, which is insane.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's cool. Yeah.
Totally. That's just my little rant about Cult of Luna.
I've got some things to look up now. Glacier, Cult of Luna. What was the other one? The guy with the quote.
Talk Talk. Yeah, it's like
talk, 80s
synth band. Nice. You probably know them best as having one of their songs covered by No Doubt.
Who didn't have a crush on Gwen Stefani? You know, come on.
I didn't. All right. I saw No Doubt. They were good too.
Hey, listen, you know.
It was at a festival. I was like, I'm not paying like my own ticket to go see them. So
and while I'm here, I guess.
That's awesome. So that was Grotto, and you can go check them out at their Bandcamp. Let me just bring it up here so we get some more. You can go to grottoriffs.bandcamp.com. You can pick up their records there, or you can pick up the digital albums there. And then if you want to go buy the vinyl or CD versions, you head over to stickmanrecords.com. That's stickman-records.com, and you can buy their stuff over there. And just want to thank Sean for coming on and recording on a Tuesday in the midst of all this strangeness. And, you know, no, I'm glad we could, you know, take our minds off that for a little bit and just talk about music and things that we like, because ultimately it's going to be the things that we like that get us through this ridiculousness.
100%, man. Yeah. Thank you, too. Appreciate it.
And that will be this chapter of the Bandcamp.